What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm concerned. I'll put it to you that way. I'm concerned that every day I listen to some news or read some news, and what Trump's saying gets more extreme and scarier. And what I'm not hearing from so-called Republicans is a conscience check. Like, hey, no, that's not what we do here. Sorry. And then just pivot back to the issues that they want to talk about. It's just not that hard. You can say that's not acceptable rhetoric. He says extreme things. He can't possibly mean that. But to deny the very reality of the words coming out of his mouth is absurd. I've been talking about the gaslighting of America for I don't know freaking how long. Seems it's more of the same. So I wanted to hear from you. What do you define as safety in a democracy? What do you think in response to these crazy statements by Donald Trump that he'll basically sick on his political opponents, the National Guard and the military? You know, like fascists. Jim from Brookfield, you say what, sir?
I say the reason why a governor like Youngkin from Virginia does not take the easy off-ramp that you said, when, you know, all he has to say is, hey, I don't agree with it, this is what I want to talk about. I think individuals like him are looking for a cabinet position if, heaven forbid, Trump gets a second term. I think he does not want to get, you know, Trump, the supreme leader, all upset because, hey, if I stick up for this guy, I may get myself a choice position in the administration, cabinet, you know, ambassador, whatever.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's that, and I think it's this. When you're dealing with a fascist and you're supposed to be on the team, you don't criticize the Führer. If you criticize the Führer, you end up with those other enemies from within in front of the firing squads. That's what happens to you. So a goodly combination of rabid self-interest, greed, power hunger, and maybe a little, oh my gosh, I don't want to get caught up on the wrong side of this. Joe from Madison, you say what?
I say, Maggie, to use the word safety is exactly the right word to use to for this discussion. I would alert people to an incredible book that came out in 1997 called The Gift of Fear. It was written by a high-profile security expert named Gavin DeBecker. And his point of view, and the book was directed a lot toward women, was listen to that little voice that's telling you this situation is getting out of control, it's going wrong, going pear-shaped, and you need to get out of here. He had examples of women, and the one that stuck in my head was the woman who's going up the stairs of her apartment with two bags of groceries, and the helpful guy who will not listen to your nose. I can help you. No, I don't need any help. No, I can see that you can't carry these. Well, I'll carry your groceries. I'll open up the door. Give me the key. Let me inside. I'll drop the groceries off for you. And what do you know? That guy's the rapist. And what stuck with my head was that so often people are told, oh, you're just being a big, you know, fraidy baby. But there's, if you're hearing a sense or a spidey sense, whatever you want to call it, that says, this is not good, this is going to go pear-shaped, you need to listen to it. You don't just walk away from that voice. So often we're told, oh, you're just a big baby and this isn't going to happen. Why wouldn't it happen?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I'm very familiar, Joe, with Gavin DeBecker's book. It's an incredible tool. The meta point here is important. And that is, if you're feeling uneasy and afraid, we've got to listen to that. And the action to take is to vigorously defend your franchise, to get out there and vote, take your friends and family to go vote, have a voting plan, advocate for yourself. Do not accept this. And hold people like Speaker Mike Johnson and Governor Youngkin accountable. That is not okay. I'm going to close this out because I want to get to my next great guest, Chef Adam Pavlak, to talk about challenging ingredients and recipes and take a break from the politics. But I promised you all I would define what I consider to be safety in a democracy. Everything other than what I'm about to tell you is secondary, even your physical safety, because that cannot be perfectly guaranteed at all moments and points in time when you live in a country as big and as wide and as broad as the United States, unless you're a billionaire who can pay for personal security. Every other element of safety in a democracy comes second to what I'm about to tell you. The only safety ultimately that truly matters in a democracy is the safety that is guaranteed to each and every one of us in the Constitution to disagree, to criticize, and to do so forcefully. The freedom to think, the freedom to question, the freedom to speak your questions and your doubts and your criticisms. Note that that does not include criminal violence. And when a politician uses rhetoric that is designed to silence you, to silence any group in this country, that is when our democracy is being taken from us. That is when our most fundamental safety is being ripped out of our hands. And people like Mike Johnson and Glenn Youngkin and every other apologist, or frankly, they're not even apologizing, endorsement of this kind of language is fundamentally a challenge and threat to our safety, greater than any immigration crisis, greater than any border crisis, because we can do something about that. We can enact an immigration bill. We can help secure our border. We can hire more Border Patrol agents. We can hire more immigration judges. We can do better there. But if we trade away our freedom to think and our freedom to criticize and to be heard about our doubts and criticisms, the rest of it is details. So let's pay attention. And while we are afraid, let's be sure we go to the polls. And as fearlessly as we can, together, exercise our right to be heard at the ballot box. We're going to talk about those ballot boxes later today with a very special guest, one of the Cracker Jack reporters from ProPublica. We'll talk more about that, but I'm excited to take a little break from the politics. My good friend, Chef Adam Pawlak, joins me on Tuesdays to talk about food and entertaining and hanging out, because we all need a break from the politics. Welcome back, Chef Adam, it's certainly very good to see you.
Hello, how we doing? Thanks for having me again, always.
Heck yeah, brother. Missed you last week. I had to talk about politics for a whole other half an hour, so it's really good to have you back. But we wanted to get into some of the most challenging recipes or challenging ingredients that people have. Folks, if you're listening to this special episode of Yes, Chef, with Chef Adam Pawlak, owner of Egg and Flour on Milwaukee's Bayview neighborhood, you got a question about an ingredient, a recipe that is constantly perplexing. Do your cookies not come out like cookies, but more like flat crepes? Chef Adam and I are here to help, probably more he than me, because he is the expert here.
I will try with the baking tips. Yeah.
I'll start with
Let's keep it savory.
Yeah, I'm all for the savory. Baking is an exact science. That is not what I do. I'm definitely not the baker type. I will start with one of my most favorite recipes of all time. And I'll tell you, Chef Adam, I made this sucker once and I was like, that is it. It was like bench pressing my weight 10 times. I was like, now that I have checked that physical fitness box, I am never doing that again. And it was the recipe that I made from scratch, everything for beef Wellington, and my brain nearly exploded. I am never doing that again. Oh, my goodness.
I was thinking that someone was going to come at me with that one. And, you know, there's only a few things that you could do to help that out. And the sure is just getting puff pastry. H is totally okay. You don't have to make your own puff pastry. Just make sure that you're not substituting that for pie crust or for a different type of dough or croissant.
Yeah, it's got to be puff pastry. Yep.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, that's one that it's like either get ready to spend all day and hopefully it comes out great, so then it's worth it, or, you know, find a restaurant it's easy to go order and have it brought to you perfectly.
Oh, now that is a good cheat. I always was very resentful of, there was this cooking show for a number of years, Adam. It was called Semi Homemade. And I was like, why is this a cooking show? I do not understand why this is on television. But I'm all for semi-homemade at home. So I have never tried Beef Wellington again, but I do have a friend who does it in like record time, and she uses two cheats, and one of them I love because it is such a Wisconsin cheat. So she absolutely hooks up the puff pastry. She does not do it in like with one whole beef tenderloin, right? She actually like buys the fillets, so they're each separate in an individual puff pastry. And then the last thing she does that I think helps it out a little bit, because it's a little bit easier to control the internal meat temperature and to be sure she's getting an even bake on it, is that she uses liver sausage instead of making the pate or the mushroom, the cook, and then you got to do the mush and it takes forever. She doesn't make the pate. She just buys the liver sausage, puts that on there, and it is freaking delicious. And I think the whole operation takes her maybe 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with the Beef Wellington and whatever kind of Wellington you want to do, if you want to be inspired and do it with a, you know, a pork tenderloin, make sure it's obviously cooked all the way to medium or plus or whatever. But it's all about putting things in there that you want, and that's what's food. So, like, there is Wellington from Hell's Kitchen, Gordon Ramsay, that we all know and love. But then there's also ways that you can cut things out of it. Like, people don't always understand that the true, legit Wellington has an herb pancake, like a crepe, inside of that Wellington, along with the prosciutto and the mushroom duck salad and all that. And, you know, some people might opt out of that. That's not going to mean that your Wellington is not going to be any good. It's just going to cut out a step, and maybe, you know, you could swap that for something else. But I think cooking in general is really important for people that are at home that aren't trying to follow every step or every rule. Totally okay with swapping out ingredients or leaving something out. It's still going to be a beautiful piece of filet mignon or tenderloin that's wrapped in beautiful, you know, crispy puff pastry, and you have a nice sauce and some vegetables. Who can go wrong with that?
Yeah, it is one of my favorite, like, special occasion meals to cook. The worst thing for me when I made it was the fact that I was making it for New Year's Eve dinner. So by the time it finally hit the table, I was so exhausted. I basically served the meal and said, "Good night, y'all. Have a good time. I gotta go put my feet up. I'm exhausted by this." We got a great question.
Well, here's a good tip.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying real quick is just switch that off to 2 days of work.
Yes.
So you can, once you get the filet seared and you get that wrapped up in the puff pastry with the plastic wrap and all that, that can actually hold overnight, and then you could do your next steps. That'll save some time.
Yeah, I am not what I would call the expert pre-planner. I am usually the, holy cow, I got to hit the grocery store and get all this done right now. I'm the one that's doing the whirling.
And get excited.
Yeah, exactly. I'm excited. I got the adrenaline, but it usually leads to the food is now on table adrenaline crash. Going right to bed. Folks, we're taking your questions, challenging recipes, food questions, challenging ingredients. What you got for Chef Adam Pawlak? He's with me here on Tuesdays for a little segment we call Yes, Chef, a little relief from the politics of the day. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We got a couple of questions coming in on the text line. We're going to have those and your questions for Chef Adam and my, you know, foibles and mistakes in the kitchen, my learning experience, if I can help you out at all. We're here for you. Again, that number is 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We'll be back in just a moment here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Challenging ingredients, challenging recipes. I think we just took down the big dog, the Beef Wellington. But I know you got more questions out there. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back with more after these brief messages.